week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm happy to be back with you today after a few days off to celebrate my brother's wedding out of town. Thanks so much to Steve Miller for keeping the big chair warm for me and Sunny. The wedding was a great event, of course. I was keeping one eye on the festivities and one eye on the sports world. I arrived in Cleveland, Ohio on Thursday night, just in time to catch the second half of the Toronto Raptors NBA championship clinching win over the Golden State Warriors. Congrats to the Raptors. And we'll have some more on the aftermath of the shooting that caused some injuries and left lots of celebrating fans a little shaken up in Toronto earlier this week during the Raptors victory parade. I also couldn't help keeping up with golf's big tournament going on in Northern California. That was the U.S. Open and Gary Woodland's big win. Now, fun fact on Gary Woodland that has just a little to do with basketball. Did you know Woodland loved playing basketball, baseball, and golf growing up in the central U.S. state of Kansas? It turns out that as a young athlete, Woodland's best sport was basketball. According to a story in the New York Times, it was basketball that provided Woodland with some of his mental toughness that later helped him on the golf course. In one high school game, he took a charge from an opponent who went up for a dunk. Woodland injured his throat and had to be rushed to the hospital. But 3 days later, he was back on the court and scored 20 points in that game. Woodland wound up using basketball to get to college, in fact. He started his college sports career as a basketball player at Division II Washburn University in Kansas. He realized that perhaps basketball wasn't going to be a long-term sport for him when he wound up playing his first ever college game against the powerful University of Kansas team. For those of you who don't follow U.S. college basketball, the Jayhawks are annually one of the sport's top teams. And Woodland wound up spending plenty of time in that game guarding eventual NBA player Kirk Heinrich. Apparently, as the Times reported, Woodland thought, and I quote, "Okay, I need to find something else because this ain't gonna work." Now, Woodland was such a good golfer that he gave up on his basketball dream and joined the rival Jayhawks golf team before turning professional in 2007. What else did Woodland learn in basketball that helped him in golf? He said that before every free throw, he would take a couple of deep breaths to calm himself down. And that's what he did a few times on Sunday as he held off the charging Brooks Koepka to win the tournament by 3 strokes. Now, another basketball story that caught my attention between toasting my brother's marriage was the news that all-star big man Anthony Davis, who had a rocky final season with the New Orleans Pelicans, is packing his bags to fly west for the summer. Davis was the key piece of a huge deal that made him a Los Angeles Laker. Yep, that's right. One of the best young big men talents, Davis, is joining up with LeBron James in Los Angeles ahead of the 2019-2020 NBA season. Now, the trade won't be fully completed for another couple weeks, but right now it looks like it's Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart going to New Orleans, along with 3 first-round picks, including the number 4 pick in Thursday's NBA draft. We'll see who that pick turns out to be. Right now, however, it looks like LeBron will be passing the torch to Davis at some point out in Hollywood. Now, speaking of the NBA draft, Ryan Handel got you up to date on some of the prospects who have African connections on Tuesday's show. And Ryan will be back later on today's show to talk about the presumptive top 3 picks, highlighted by Zion Williamson of Duke University. I'm looking forward to our chat with Ryan. We'll also hear from Steve Miller, who has a story about some unique pop culture icons you can see at a Buddhist temple in Thailand, including the image of one well-known soccer player. Now, speaking of soccer, let's get into it right now with this report from our fantastic correspondent in Nigeria, Iron Mike Mbonye. Mike is looking ahead to the African Cup of Nations, and he joins us now with this story on the Super Eagles, who kick off their tournament on Saturday against Burundi. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Nigerian football fans are happy with the return of John Mikel Obi, captain of the national football team, also known as the Super Eagles. Obi has not played for the national team after the loss to Argentina in the Russia 2018 World Cup. He marked his return with a great performance in an international friendly against Zimbabwe in a pre-Nations Cup match. Obi says he decided to return to the national team after consultations with his family and manager of the Nigerian team, Gernot Rohr.
It was very, very difficult. I mean, at some point I said, okay, shall I go? You know, shall I come back quickly? But I spoke to my missus. We had a good conversation. What is best for your health at the minute? My family also, kids. The older you get, you start to think about life in a different way, not just about football. And we had a very good conversation. And I thought giving it a bit more rest will help. Also with my fitness coming from China as well, with a little bit of injuries which I had while I was there. Because of just flight, the distance of flying, coming and playing and then flying back, sitting on the plane for over 20-something hours, coming here, playing. It started to take toll on you, so yeah, it was quite difficult, but I'm really, really pleased to be back. I want to help this team now, too, this young team. Hopefully we can do well in this Nations Cup.
Kenneth Omero, Spain-based defender and member of the Super Eagles, says the team is happy with the return of Mikel Obi. He says Obi's leadership is needed in the team.
It's a major advantage for us. You know, he's one of the biggest players in Africa, if not the world. And his leadership is needed in the team. And, you know, it's showing because everyone respects him and his talent is, you know, it shows. It shows on the pitch.
Obi says he will share his experience with the players to ensure a good outing in the Nations Cup tournament. He says the players should work as a team to do well in AFCON 2019.
It is very important. I mean, I love this team. I mean, I have a very good relationship with the boys. I'm so happy, like you said, you know, they look up to me. I know it's a young team. It's a team game. We're going to Nations Cup. It's a team game. I'm not the only one to play, but I'm going to be there to share my experience with the team, to help the younger players, to make sure that we play or we do well in this tournament. It's going to be tough. There's no easy team now in the Nations Cup in Africa. So we have to know that we're going into a very tough tournament. But if we do what we have to do with the quality of players we have, if we train well during this couple of weeks leading to the tournament, if we're fit, I think we have a good chance.
Nigeria is in Group B with Guinea, Madagascar and Burundi, and will play their first round games in Alexandria. This is Mike Mbonye for the Sunny Side of Sports in Lagos, Nigeria.
Thank you, Mike. We look forward to some more reports from you here on the Sunny Side of Sports as the tournament continues. That's Iron Mike Mbonye, and I'm Dan Friedel filling in for Sonny Young. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now, speaking of the AFCON tournament, we have some sound from Zimbabwe's coach and captain ahead of the tournament's opening match on Friday. Zimbabwe plays the host nation, Egypt, on June 21st. While the Egyptians are favored to win the opener, the Warriors believe they're in good shape heading into the match. Let's hear from manager Sunday Chidzambwa.
I think we have very experienced players in our team. As for the atmosphere, I think we played under the same atmosphere in DRC and in Congo Brazzaville. They are quite used to this kind of atmosphere, and I just hope they're going to play their normal football and produce a reasonable or good result for the nation.
The Warriors captain Knowledge Musona also stepped to the microphone, and he was asked about player safety during the tournament in Egypt.
We feel very safe. We are always protected in the hotel. Whenever we go to training, every time we are training, they are always there, the security. And yeah, everything that you want to do, there's always security around us. So we feel very safe and very protected here since the day we came.
You just heard from Zimbabwe captain Knowledge Musona and the Warriors manager, Sunday Chidzambwa, who are in Egypt getting ready for Friday's opening match in the African Cup of Nations. While it looks like Egypt, Morocco, and Senegal have the strongest teams in the tournament, you never can tell which unheralded squad will make a run. We'll follow the tournament with you here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and we'll catch you up on the FIFA Women's World Cup when we return from this VOA programming message.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's get you caught up on Tuesday's action at the Women's World Cup in France. Brazil defeated Italy 1-0 thanks to a goal from all-time scorer Marta, who tallied her 17th World Cup goal. But the win for the South Americans was not enough to move them into the knockout round. Group C showed how important goal differential is for teams to advance. Remember the first USA match of the tournament? The 13-0 win over Thailand? Well, it seems as if Brazil could have used some of those goals. Group C finished with a three-way tie for 6 points apiece from Italy, Australia, and Brazil. Italy advanced as the group winner, while Australia's 4-1 win over Jamaica on Tuesday proved to be important. The Aussies advanced thanks to having scored 8 goals in 3 games, while Brazil only scored 6. Sam Kerr scored twice in each half for the Matildas, while Jamaica scored its first goal of the tournament. In Wednesday's action, we'll see the final matches of Group D in just about 3 hours, as the group leaders England face Japan, and both Argentina and Scotland face off, looking for their first wins of the tournament. It looks like both England and Japan should advance out of that group. Now, speaking of soccer's hold on the world, my colleague Steve Miller joins us now with this story of one soccer icon finding his place among other pop culture characters at a Buddhist temple in Thailand. Sporty greetings, Steve.
Sporty greetings to you, Dan. Now, for this story, we're going to Bangkok, Thailand, and specifically the Parawat Temple. It's there that at this temple we find engraved the Beckham statue 2 decades ago. That's when Manchester United made history by being the first English football club to win the treble of trophies. The temple's abbot says that the sculptor built the statue in 1999 when Manchester United won the Premier League, the FA Cup, and the UEFA Champions League as a way to commemorate the victories. The sculptor also believed that foreigners could support the Buddhist religion. The Beckham statue was built in a traditional Garuda style, holding up the altar. It features Beckham's trademark floppy hairstyle of that era and his team jersey, and continues to attract visitors even to this day. One tourist said that it can bring in even more people, including kids, to visit the temple. But David Beckham isn't the only iconic pop culture figure to get installed on the temple grounds. Visitors can also spot Wolverine, Superman, and that Pokemon, Pikachu, all of whom adorn the exterior of the temple building. The temple said these superheroes were installed because they are considered good symbols who can help protect Buddhism. Well, Dan, that's all I have. Back to you.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to have that nugget of soccer trivia about the temple in Southeast Asia. If I'm ever there, I'll be sure to go check it out. I definitely remember the Beckham mania that swept the soccer world 20 years ago this summer. Now, speaking of sports icons, I wonder if there's a player from Thursday night's National Basketball Association draft who'll one day have his likeness engraved at a temple. Now, on a recent show, VOA intern and Brown University Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel ran down the NBA prospects who have African connections, including Bol Bol, the son of South Sudan icon Manute Bol. Ryan's back today to talk with us about the likely top three picks in Thursday's draft. The number one overall pick is held by Anthony Davis's former team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Although we won't know for certain until tomorrow night, the top three picks of the 2019 NBA draft appear to be set in stone. The New Orleans Pelicans are primed to take Duke phenom Zion Williamson with the number one overall pick. The Memphis Grizzlies look to pick Murray State's Ja Morant. And the New York Knicks appear ready to take Zion's Duke teammate RJ Barrett. After those three picks, it's anyone's guess what happens next. I'm going to take a closer look at those top three prospects and how they might impact the NBA. First up, Zion Williamson. The NBA has never seen a prospect like Zion and might never again. Williamson comes in at 6'7" and 285 pounds. But despite carrying around all that weight, Zion moves extremely well. His unique blend of size, power, and athleticism make him seem like a combination of Charles Barkley and LeBron James. That's high praise, but he's earned it. The robust forward excels in nearly every aspect of the game, but is especially known for his highlight reel dunks. He had 62 dunks in just 29 games this year for Duke. Assuming New Orleans drafts him, Williamson can turn the Pelicans franchise around. On the other end of the size spectrum, we have Ja Morant, who is just 6'3" and 175 pounds, over 100 pounds less than Zion. And unlike Williamson, Morant received very little hype as a college recruit. Morant didn't dunk in a game until his senior year of high school. But Morant greatly developed in college and quickly became an elite prospect, despite his size and playing at a smaller school. What sets Morant apart from other prospects is his ball handling and court vision. He became the first ever NCAA player to average 20 points and 10 assists in a season. His ability to spread the ball around the court will make him a great point guard for the team that drafts him, which will likely be the Grizzlies. Lastly, we have RJ Barrett, who often played second fiddle to Zion Williamson at Duke, but is a talented player in his own right. Barrett, who plays shooting guard and small forward, has elite scoring ability as he totaled 22.6 points per game at Duke. The 6'7", 200-pound player also has plenty of experience on the international stage. He won MVP at the 2017 FIBA Under-19 Basketball World Cup, while leading his home country of Canada to the title. If he can replicate that type of performance on the Knicks, he can help return them to their former glory. I'm looking forward to seeing how these three players change the landscape of the NBA next season.
Thanks for that, Ryan. Now, we've got three guys here. They're all going to get ample opportunities to play. They're going to be hyped up when we're looking at the training camp in October and getting ready for the opener in late October. Which of these three players do you think will have the best NBA career?
Well, Ja Morant and RJ Barrett have the potential to be good or even great NBA players, but they're not in the same class as Zion Williamson, who looks like a future Hall of Famer to me. He's the best NBA prospect since LeBron James, and the league is completely unprepared to handle his unique skill set and unmatched physical attributes. I fully expect him to win Rookie of the Year and build from there.
Now that's high praise, Ryan. Thanks for that report. So, to me, of this group, I'm going to go with Barrett. It had to be tough for him to find a way to fit in with Zion last year at Duke. And as far as the prototypical NBA player, if Barrett can get his outside shot down, I see him being an all-star for many years to come. Ryan, what do you say we reconvene in 10 years and see who was right?
Sounds good to me, Dan.
That's VOA intern Ryan Handel. Thanks for being on the sunny side of sports today, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, along with the celebrating, there was a scary moment in Toronto during the Raptors' victory parade on Monday. Police were looking for witnesses who may have seen something connected to gunshots that hurt four people in the million-plus crowd.
This did not happen in a vacuum. This happened in broad open spaces right now where we had over a million people that were here. We want the witnesses, those who were here, 99.9% of the people were here to enjoy the festivities of the Raptors winning the championship. We want them to step up and to help us by giving us as much evidence if you had.
Well, it turns out the witnesses did help. And on Tuesday, it was reported that three men were arrested on firearms charges. They are Shaquille Anthony Miller, Tino Toussaint, and Abdikarim Kirou. Police are still looking for a fourth man they think may have been involved. In some other sports news, we want to send a get well soon message to Max Scherzer, the pitcher from our hometown Washington Nationals, who was getting ready for the game on Tuesday that was eventually rained out. Scherzer was bunting pitches during batting practice. Now, that means he wasn't even swinging the bat. He was just trying to tap the ball back toward the pitcher. When the ball bounced off the bat and hit him in the face, breaking his nose, Scherzer is gutting it out, and he's scheduled to pitch later tonight in game two of a doubleheader against the Philadelphia Phillies. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the big news in European soccer today. And that's that the Spanish Soccer Federation president, Luis Rubiales, said that former Barcelona coach and former national team coach won't come back to coach the Spanish national side after he took a leave of absence earlier this spring. He'll be permanently replaced by Robert Moreno, who took over on an interim basis in March. All anyone has said about Enrique is that a personal issue has prevented him from resuming his duties with the team. Rubiales said the federation will continue to support Enrique during this difficult time, but it's putting its trust on Robert Moreno to lead the Spanish team into Euro 2020. Spain won the European Championship in 2008 and 2012, along with the 2010 South Africa World Cup. Now, we all remember the vuvuzelas in Johannesburg during that World Cup and how excited sports fans in Europe were to see the Spanish team finally capitalize on so many years of great talent with the World Cup. It'll be interesting to see whether the Spanish team is able to regroup and get into the 2020 Euro Championship after this change in the coaching staff. Now that wraps up the June 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Ron McLean. Thanks to Steve Miller for hosting while I was out. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, thousands of men, women, and children are forced to flee to escape violence and persecution. June 20th marks World Refugee Day. Global refugee awareness on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two Face. NATO C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Do you think eating food or drinking beverages with a lot of sugar or other simple carbohydrates will provide you with a quick burst of energy, some call a sugar rush? A number of people around the world have long linked sugar with delivering an instant surge of hyperactivity. But according to a new study published in Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Reviews, this is just a myth. The study suggests sugar doesn't cause the so-called sugar rush, and it virtually has no effect on your mood, regardless of how much sugar you ingest. The British and German study authors say they have actually found the opposite to be true, that sugar increases tiredness and decreases alertness within an hour after it is consumed. The researchers made their findings after analyzing data gathered from 31 previously conducted studies. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA.